If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
Blackhawks Live. Tonight on Blackhawks Live, a new season, different faces, and the drive to win.
Jones, nice slot, fires, Patsy, rebound, score! Connor Bedard, Donato to Nazar over the blue line, down the slot, he shoots, he scores! Frank Nazar on a breakaway!
Join Charlie Remiliotis as he dives into what's next for the Hawks. Here's Charlie.
Okay, guys, show us what you got.
Welcome in to Blackhawks Live. Charlie Remiliotis here, back on a Monday night with my guy, Jack Heinrich, as always, riding shotgun with me. Jack, we have two more shows after this. Time has been flying by this season.
Yeah, I didn't think you were right when you said that before the show.
we were talking, right before the show. We're like, I think we have two more shows after this. We're like, nah, that doesn't sound right. And then we're like, geez, we only have two more after this. Tomorrow we're going to flip the calendar to April. And I think we're down in the single digits now for regular season games left in the Blackhawks schedule with eight. So hard to believe we're almost at the finish line here. We got a fun show later today, around 7:30-ish. We're going to have Tony Granato of CHSN will be joining us to talk about the overall state of the rebuild and obviously the debuts of Sam Renzel and Oliver Moore, which happened at the United Center yesterday. Jack and I were there. It was it's been a whirlwind of a last 72 hours for Sam Renzel and Oliver Moore. They were the NCAA tournament started on Thursday, and they were Minnesota had aspirations to make some sort of deep run in the Frozen Four, and they were unfortunately eliminated on Thursday night in a heartbreaking 5-4 loss in overtime against UMass. And I say heartbreaking because in the shift right before the goal happened, or on, I guess on the same shift, there was a tripping call that was very controversial that did not get penalized, and Minnesota was not happy about it. The UMass goes the other way and scores, and that is the end of Minnesota's tournament. And then, of course, for Sam Renzel and Oliver Moore, they had to somehow make an immediate decision on whether or not to sign their entry-level contracts with the Blackhawks. They flew to Chicago on Friday night and were at practice on Saturday morning to officially sign their ELCs. And Jack, it was the big storyline going into yesterday's game. And with Renzel and Oliver Moore, neither of them looked out of place. I thought Moore was noticeable in the first period, a little bit more quiet in the second and third, but Renzel from start to finish, I was like, boy, this guy is a player already.
Yeah, he was letting it fly, which was nice to see too with his shots on goal. They look good. The one thing I was telling you before is Oliver Moore is really fast.
Very.
You could see it in person when we were there, but it's another piece of the puzzle. So it'll be, I know the season hasn't gone the way we wanted to, but what are they, like the youngest team in the NHL now? So this is the future now, so you could at least watch that and look for those positives.
What's funny is they went into this season as one of the oldest teams because they had signed Pat Maroon and Alec Martinez, and you know, they had Nick Foligno on the roster, obviously, as the captain. So they had a lot of veterans on this team at the beginning of the year, and now that they've moved on from some of them, you know, Seth Jones got traded, or I shouldn't even say moved on from some of them. It's more of the injection of youth that the Blackhawks have had over the last couple months here with the additions of Frank Nazar and Landon Slaggart, and especially on the back end. I mean, it was funny. We were watching practice the other day. It was on Saturday, and Connor Murphy wasn't on the ice because of a maintenance day, and I was like, Alex Vlasic is the oldest guy on the ice right now among the Blackhawks defensemen, and he's 23 years old and has 170 games in the NHL. So it's been wild to see the youth movement over the last couple months, but really over the last few weeks as the influx of talent comes in. The Sam Renzel, you mentioned he had some grade A scoring chances. You know, if you look at the final numbers in the game yesterday against Utah, He had 7 shot attempts, which was tied for second among all skaters in the game. Only Frank Nazar had more with 11, and 5 of them hit the net. 4 of Rinzell's 7 shots were on goal, which was tied for second. He also delivered 2 hits and logged 20 minutes and 15 seconds of ice time. And the big thing about Rinzell that you saw in college was he was maybe the best defenseman skater in college hockey. Like, that's how smooth he is. And I remember when the Blackhawks drafted him in the 2022 NHL draft, he was taken with the 3rd first round pick that the Blackhawks had, where they jumped up from 39 to 26, moving up 13 spots with Toronto to take on Peter Mrazek's, I shouldn't even say take on his contract, to acquire Peter Mrazek, and they drafted Sam Rinzell. And I remember we were talking to Mike Donaghy, the head scout for the Blackhawks at the time, and they admitted right off the hop, saying, like, this is going to be a project for Sam Rinzell. Like, he's very raw. And over the last couple of years, Jack, we've seen him start to fill out his frame. And in college hockey specifically this year, you're like, boy, this guy is a heck of a skater. And that was on full display yesterday against Utah. You're like, it doesn't even look like he's exerting much energy skating out there. Like, it's just so effortless.
Yeah, he put on that spin move too, I think, in like the second period. He was very comfortable out there. I mean, the big thing that stuck out to me on the first shift is he had 2 passes, and he put them just right on the tape of the guy he's passing it to. So no jitters. He was just ready to go. So he was impressive. And even though it was a 5-2 game, you're like, there's not many positives. But those 2 young guys stood out, especially Rinzell, who, I mean, he's just kind of skyrocketed this last year. And you're like, oh, now they have Levchinov and Rinzell, and they're both playing. And I think you said it yesterday, they have a bunch of power play quarterbacks now. Yeah. So they got to figure that out, and it's a good problem to have moving forward.
It's a great problem to have, because literally in a month span, the Hawks went from having 0 true power play quarterbacks. You know, that it was Seth Jones, it was Alex Vlasic, they had Alec Martinez in that role as well, which Martinez, very well-respected veteran, has played that role over the last 15 years in LA and Vegas. But I think as far as where they're at in their careers, the Hawks were really looking for an influx of talent. And now, you know, you look at the power play units over the last couple, or the last game, it was Artem Levchinov manning the first quarterback on the first unit. And then you had Sam Rinzell and Kevin Korchinski both on the second unit. And so I think the appealing part about the Levchinov and Rinzell is how they're both right-handed shots. And boy, that is very rare in today's NHL to have potentially elite talent coming from the back end that are unbelievable skaters in Levchinov and Rinzell, and the right-handed shots, and they can drive offense. Levchinov can, he likes to freelance a bit, which makes him very fun to watch. Obviously, you have to put a little bit parameters on it.
I love Troy's reaction to watching him. He starts laughing sometimes.
It is funny. It's enjoyable. And I don't think it should be viewed as a negative that he does that. I honestly think, like, he's such an effortless skater that he's typically the first guy back too, and so the Hawks will work with him. Like, I'm genuinely not concerned. He's got 5 points in 10 games too, and like he's producing offensively, and the goals are going to come. I think he's hit a couple posts already, but it's been fun to watch the back end evolve for the Blackhawks. And it should be noted too, because Moore and Rinzell signed their entry-level contracts and joined the Blackhawks immediately, the first year of their entry-level contracts will be burned, or have already been burned, I should say. And same with Artem Levchinov. He was a different circumstance where he had to get to the 10-game mark for the first year of the entry-level contract to be burned. And I don't want to bog everyone down with some of the nitty-gritty details, but I've seen some people say, like, why would it make sense for the Blackhawks to burn the entry level contract? Typically, you want to have them on the ELC for as long as possible. That is true when you are a Stanley Cup contender and you're basically up against the salary cap ceiling, and you're looking for those entry level contracts that are below $1 million that can, like, inject the lineup and be impactful players. But for Chicago, it doesn't matter, because they're still in the middle of their rebuild. And if anything, it kind of helps Kyle Davidson and his management staff to get a better picture of what their second contracts might be to get them quicker. And the second contract, whether it's a bridge, a long-term deal, we saw with Alex Vlasic, he ended up going with the six-year route. It allows the Blackhawks to just have a better sense of what the next numbers are without the body of work of having three full NHL seasons for the prospects like Oliver Moore, Sam Rinzauer, or I should say just professional season. So no concern whatsoever that the Hawks have burned all three of the first year of their entry-level contracts. I think if anything, the Hawks would probably lean towards that would be their preference without that being the primary driving force behind the decision. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Like that. I mean, you're in the rebuild too, so you kind of want to see these guys in the professional setting as well. So, and they have a lot of cap room right now too. So it's not like they're hamstrung, like you said, like normally contending teams are. And I think it does help like with these young guys all kind of coming up together now. Cause it's like, you got a lot of guys that you can lean on that are your age and with some veterans too. So like Oliver Moore and Sam Rinzel are saying, it's really nice that we're up together because they were teammates. I think they're living together right now again. I think they're roommates too. So
they just keep following each other.
Yeah, they're just going to be besties. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you got all these young guys coming up. I mean, Levshinov's young too. Bedard's young. So all these guys can kind of grow together. And we'll see where it all shakes out. Maybe some of them are in Rockford next year. But at least these last eight games, they can get the taste of it. And I think Frank Nazar and Landon Seigert said, like, getting the taste of it last year really helped them transition into this year. And you look at them, they had really good years in Rockford, and then now they're playing pretty well up at the NHL level too.
For sure. You mentioned Rockford, and that does still need to be a developmental tool for the Blackhawks, even though a lot of those guys are in the NHL right now. Nazar, Slaggart, Del Mastro, Crevier, Allen's, back in Rockford. But like, all these guys, Kaiser, all these young defensemen on the Blackhawks. Korchinski is up here now too with Rinzel and Levshinov. Like, the Hawks have so many, they're almost getting to a point where they're scratching as many defensemen as they're fielding. And I think I saw Frank Saravalli on CHSN broadcast had said he doesn't expect Sam Rinzel to play in a single AHL game. Like, that's how convinced he is that he's NHL ready. And I agree with him. I would be surprised if Rinzel saw AHL time. I think I feel a little bit differently with Oliver Moore, although I did find it interesting that Frank implied that Moore is going to have a really good shot at winning a spot out of training camp next season. I don't know if that's predetermined. I don't think it is. I would be a little concerned if that was kind of predetermined, because I honestly think Moore probably needs maybe half a year in the minors next year. But if he wins the job out of training camp and like has earned that job, that's encouraging. But it should most certainly be an option to send him down to Rockford just to get some grooming, because it has been a kind of a whirlwind of a last season for Moore. With he was talking on Saturday that he didn't like where his production was this year. He's like, he kind of mentioned it off the cuff that he's like, I wasn't a Hobie Baker finalist or whatever. And so you kind of figure that he wanted to play himself into that conversation, and he didn't. He finished with the same amount of points that he had last year in his freshman season. I mean, you see the raw talent that Moore has, the speed, the way he churns his feet so quickly. It really does remind me of Connor McDavid. I don't want to throw around that loosely, like, and compare them talent wise, but the way their strides are, they look very similar. And so you could definitely see the potential in Oliver Moore as well. But I'm going to be curious to see how they handle that going into next season, because he'll probably finish the year off here with the Blackhawks, get the taste, just like Slaggart, Nazar did. And then going into next summer, you wonder if Moore has that in him to knock on the door for a training camp spot, or if he is going to need some season. I personally think I would just kind of force him to start the year in Rockford next year for the first half of the season, just to let him tell you when he's ready. But we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, I think you'd want him to earn it. And that's kind of how Nazar was last year. Like, they kind of wanted him to start, but he had to earn it. And they sent him down to Rockford, and it worked out for him. He looks like a lot more, like, he learned a lot and developed a lot. So I don't think you want to hand young guys just jobs out of nowhere. I think you kind of want them to earn it a little bit. And I don't think there's anything wrong with going down to Rockford. I mean, we've already seen how Vlasic has responded. And, I mean, why Kizer looks great since coming back up. So we'll see what that dynamic looks like next year with all the coaching changes and stuff. But I think it could be beneficial for him to do that. But, I mean, he should come in the camp saying, like, I want to make the NHL roster. I mean, you want that. You want your young guys to do that. And hopefully he, I mean, if he does, like you said, it's a big plus, but it's no problem if he has to go to Rockford for a little bit.
Right. Similar to Frank Nazar, like he started the year in Rockford and I think he got called up sooner than the Blackhawks were expecting because he was blowing the doors off down there. Like he was among the AHL leaders in points and
kind of forced their hand.
Yeah. He was like, all right, well, he played almost a full or the first half of the season down in Rockford. We have no choice but to call him up because he's playing well. And so I would like them to see the Blackhawks take that same path with Oliver Moore, but we'll see. Maybe he will make the team out of training camp. And but you don't want to get to a point where the Hawks are playing tug of war with some of these prospects where it's like they start the year in the NHL, then you send it back to Rockford. Then you call him up in the NHL, then he hits a wall, and then you got to send it back to Rockford. Like you don't want to kind of yo-yo them between the AHL and NHL. It's one of those things where you probably want to make sure that once they have graduated from the AHL, they don't see the minors again.
Yeah, that should be the goal because it'd be tough for them to be bouncing back and forth. We saw a little bit with Lucas Reichel the past few years, right. So every player is different, but that should be the goal is you want them to get down there, develop, right, and then they come up and they don't go back, and then you're able to keep them up in the NHL. But, well, yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, we're getting close to the end of the season now. You can even start looking towards next year a little bit, too, these guys, like, what kind of step are these guys going to take in year two? And then Connor Bedard's in year three. So hopefully there's a lot of that. And I mean, it's a big summer for the Hawks when you look at it. Like they're going to get probably another high pick and they got room in free agency. And you're seeing some of these young guys and you're starting to see the puzzle pieces now after a long rebuild.
For sure. And the encouraging part of that I saw in Moore's game over the last few weeks of his collegiate season. So he won 52.7% of his faceoffs, but against UMass on Thursday night, took 29 draws, won 21 of them for a faceoff win percentage of 72.4%. So he'd certainly improved in that area at the faceoff circle, but right now he's playing wing and he might be better suited there long-term, but we'll see as the Blackhawks kind of navigate all of that. All right, we got much more to get to here on Blackhawks Live. Tony Granato is going to join us on the other side of the break on Blackhawks Live. You're listening to 720 WGN. Back here on Blackhawks Live, Charlie Romeliotis and Jack Heinrich with you here on this frigid Monday night here in Chicago. It was seemingly 72 degrees the other day. We got a very special guest joining us now on the phone. Let's bring in Tony Granato, Blackhawks analyst for CHSN, member of the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame, and my former colleague at NBC Sports Chicago. Tony G, what is up, my man?
Hi, Charlie. How are you tonight, buddy? You're complaining about the weather. I just heard that.
I am complaining about the weather. How is it over in Detroit right now?
It's chilly here, too. I just went and bought some long underwear. I got a couple days in Detroit, and I didn't pack well enough, so I just was at Target buying some long underwear. So
I'm
complaining, too. I'm glad someone else is complaining about it right now, too.
I keep feeling like we're turning a corner, and then I look at the weather forecast. I was like, geez, we might get snow? Like, we snowed on Sunday, apparently, when we were at the Blackhawks game? I don't know.
It snowed today on my drive up here as well. It caught a little snow along the lake effect area.
All right. Well, it was a fun day yesterday. I saw you in the press box because it was the NHL debuts of Sam Rinzell and Oliver Moore for the Blackhawks. What did you think of their first game? That was an exciting time for Chicago with all those young players in the lineup.
Yeah, it sure was. I mean, Rinzell made the, immediate, impactful shift, I guess. He had that one shift in the offensive zone. He did the spinorama, went around the guy. Really poised with the puck, made a couple plays, had an empty net to somehow hit the crossbar, and then had a second chance. So I think his offensive instincts for a young defenseman and be able to come in your first game and be confident enough to be on your toes that much to be To be able to show that well, I think, was just an unbelievable performance. Moore, on the other hand, was just solid. Just went up and down the wing like he's supposed to. You saw his bursts of speed a couple times. I think he'll settle in, relax. He's going to be a forechecking type of player that's just going to drive the defense nuts with how fast he gets in the forecheck. And then I think his game will come around with just more reps. But Renzel looked like he was very comfortable and kind of fits in with that young defense talent, offensive ability, like Levchinov in a different way maybe. And, I mean, it's got to be exciting for all Blackhawks fans and anyone that saw the performance of especially Levchinov and Renzel in the last couple weeks.
We were talking to Sam Renzel after practice on Saturday, just asking about his nerves going into his NHL debut, and he's like, I just want to play confident and assertive. And it felt like he played that way. There didn't look to be any timidness in his game for Renzel.
None at all. And you give credit to Kevin Dean. Kevin, he brings the young D in. He says, hey, this is what I know of you. This is what we want to see from you. This is what we expect from you. And I think he gives him a calmness that. And I think the other part of it is he walked into it and he looked in the locker room and he goes, man, I'm not that young. I got four other group partners that are barely, the same age as me. So I think that kind of makes him relax, because sometimes when you're a young guy and you walk into a veteran locker room, you're somewhat intimidated and you kind of want to feel your way in. But I think with all these young kids in here, it makes it easier for when there are call-ups or signees from college or whatever. I think it just makes it a little more relaxing for them just to settle into it.
You have a unique NHL resume where you're a longtime NHL player, longtime NHL coach, two-time Big Ten Coach of the Year with Wisconsin, so you have the collegiate experience as well. What do you think Oliver and Sam have been trying to work through as they make the jump from college to the NHL immediately, where there isn't kind of that grace period where it's like, oh, go to the minors, play a couple games, and then go? Like, it's like season ended Thursday, Sunday, they're already in the lineup for the Blackhawks. What's the biggest transition for them?
Well, I think the best thing is that they're doing it together. And when you got a partner that you trust, that you know, that knows you, I think it helps you kind of, go into somewhere knowing you got someone with you to kind of go through that same introduction, so to speak, of not just jumping into a team, but jumping into a new league. And those guys, they're prepared. They've been around the Blackhawk organization since they've been drafted, whether they're at development camps, whether they're working with player development coaches. They've been watching. Oliver Moore, when I covered the World Juniors over Christmas that he won the gold medal in Ottawa, when I went up and introduced myself to him, he goes, I know you. I watch all the games. So he is a student of the game. He has been a Blackhawk since the second he got drafted. I remember the draft day with Connor and everything where it just seemed like, okay, there's going to be a player here that's going to be really fit in well with what the Blackhawks rebuild is all about. And his development on the type of player that he was drafted has continued throughout his 2 years at Minnesota as far as his work ethic, his compete level, his intensity and how he plays, his fitness. So I have been really impressed, just not from the first game that those guys played, but more so since the day they got drafted, kind of the steps that they've taken to be ready for what they showed the other night. So it's exciting. I mean, the thing is, fans, that I think we get kind of lost in this whole phase. This is a rebuild. So when you bring young players in, you expect them to, show you signs of, wow, okay, we can see what's going to happen in a year or two or three. We can't expect them to come in and just all of a sudden, because the players are here, we just start winning overnight. And, I think that's a lot of the questions I got from fans is, well, hey, if they're so good, how come we're not winning right now? And then you look at the ages and you look at, the potential that these guys have, the things they've shown that get us all excited about what it could be like in a couple of years is the performance of Renzel in his first one, Levchinov on his you know, first nine games in the NHL. It is on Vlasic's, you know, year and a half now. It is on Connor's rookie of the year and is continuing to score and find ways. It is on Nazar just showing night after night how good he's going to be. But we still got to remember they're so young. So that doesn't mean you win just because you got good young players. But it does give you hope and give you, you know, some good vision of what's going to happen a few years down the road.
For sure. I think when Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews, when they stepped into the NHL, they were entering a situation where the infrastructure was already in place, where there were the Patrick Sharps, Marian Hossa signed the year after. There was the, you know, Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook. Like, they were already in the NHL. But with these young players, they're kind of all getting thrown in there together and trying to figure it out collectively. So to your point, it's exciting to see them all on the roster, but there's certainly an element of there still has to be some patience over the next couple of years as they find their way.
I agree totally. Patience is a good word. But, you know, the enthusiasm of the fans has shown, you know, when they see the excitement and you see, you know, whether it's Levchinov, whether it's Nazar, whether it's Connor, whether it's Vlasic, these young guys making big-time plays, or Spencer Knight coming into the mix now at 23 years old, knowing he's going to be the goalie of the future, and you see him play some great games or make big saves. The fans have really been, I think, in the same boat we are of recognizing the fact that, you know what, these young kids are exciting to watch, and the excitement is only going to continue to grow as they grow. And it's kind of fun seeing this at ground level, so to speak, or the initiation stage of it. And as it, you know, step by step, it gets closer and closer to the final product, which should be, you know, competing for championships and big playoff runs and things like that. I think the more you're around it, the earlier, the more you're going to enjoy it as it progresses.
We've seen the last couple months specifically, maybe even the last couple weeks, just this influx of young talent with the youth movement, especially on the back end, you know, Levchinov, Korchinski, and Del Mastro, and Crevier, Kaiser, all these young players. What's the balance between wanting to get all of them some NHL experience, but you also don't want to throw them all to the wolves and just kind of like, all right, sink or swim? You know, like, there's got to be a method to the madness too, right? So, like, what's how do you find that balance as a coach, between balancing the development of some of those younger players?
Well, I think that's what the Hawks have done with the up and downs with Korchinski, Kaiser, Del Mastro, Nolan Allen's down in Rockford now. You know, Levchinov played the whole year up until a couple weeks ago down in Rockford. So I think that, you know, there has to be a plan in place. Like you said, you can't just throw them kind of the wolves and just put them all out there. And I think the development part of having them learn a lot of their habits through Rockford is important. And then the ones that stick and the ones that absorb it and the ones that learn it. You look at the numbers there on the back end right now. There's only six defensemen that can dress every night. You know Vlasic, you know Levchinov, you know Renzel. Those are three elite defensemen. Those three will be part of the next 10 years of Blackhawk hockey at the back end. So that leaves three spots. You've got one veteran right now in Murphy that's going to be here for the next couple of years because of what he brings to the table. And then you got to fight for those other spots because all of those guys have shown that they're capable NHL players, but which one is going to fit into that role that's going to be the person that or the player that's going to give the Blackhawks something that they need. And if you look, you know, at the past few games, Darren Pang has pointed out a lot. And on our show with Kaylee and Pat, we pointed out a lot. I think that you're looking for someone to step up physically around the net that's going to protect the net. And say, okay, if we're going to win, Spencer Knight has to be our best player. How do we make him our best player? Well, we let him see every puck by boxing out. We make sure that nobody gets rebounds. We make sure he can get to the top of the crease because, you know, he knows we're in good coverage, and I think that's what Kevin Dean is trying to help these guys understand. Those little things as part of being a defenseman are the big things that help you grow as a group, gain confidence in how you play defensively, and again, like I said, allow your goalie to be as good as he can be. And you know, Spencer has the potential to grow with this group the same way that we're talking about with Levchinov and Menzel and Moore, Connor, and all the rest of the players that are all really young ones, and some of those habits of figuring out which one of those defensemen. Is it going to be Crabier, the big guy? Is he going to be the one that's going to be the stable piece to the, you know, in the second or third pair? Or is it Del Mastro? Or is it Kaiser? Is it Kuchinski? Is it Nolan Allen? I mean, there's lots of guys that will be fighting for that spot. And now that there's competition, and like I said, there's only six defensemen that can dress, and there's four of them I know that are going to be here for a while that, that'll be in position. And then there's another five guys that will be fighting for those last two spots.
Last one for you, Tony. You have to admire the pool that the Blackhawks have been assembling, the forward group, the defenseman group. We're getting a glimpse of it with Renzel and Levshinov and Vlasic. But to add that piece in Spencer Knight in the Seth Jones trade, how massive was that for the rebuild to potentially have a bona fide number one starting goaltender moving forward?
I was caught a little off guard from the standpoint that I didn't know a goalie would be available and a goalie of the potential that Spencer has. So when Kyle put that deal together, I thought it was either going to be a first-round pick or a player.
And right.
Both. I was like, wow, I did not see that coming. So to get two assets, you know, one being another draft, you know, first-round pick, and then to add a young goaltender like Spencer Knight, I was overwhelmed what the return was for Seth. And considering the handcuffs that Kyle had put out, you know, was put on him because of Seth's comments about wanting to get out, I was, you know, really impressed on how he was able to find the partner and find the right home for Seth and be able to bring in two assets like he did to the organization. So kudos to Kyle. I think in a few years we're going to look back on that trade and you know, like we are now. I mean, we're looking back at the trade, you know, like Renzel. What pick did Renzel come from? Was he the Toronto pick? Or was
Yeah, the third of the three first-rounders.
Yeah, so he was from Toronto. Somebody else was from the Tampa trade. Was Nazar part of the Tampa trade? I mean, so you look at the you know, okay, we players were traded and you get a draft pick for them. Well, those draft picks that were trades from 2 and 3 and 4 years ago now are the Nazars, now are the Renzels. And I think that's what, you know, really exciting is the patience that the organization has been able to have by moving players for draft, you know, spots is starting to see those returns.
Tony, great stuff. Thanks for carving out some time for me today. I always love talking hockey with you, and hopefully we can do it again down the road.
The same, Charlie. I love when we run into each other at practice or at games, and we just we talk Blackhawk hockey. I think it's in our blood that that's our team, and we look forward to watching many more exciting times ahead.
I love it. Have a great rest of your night, okay?
I will. Thanks, Charlie.
All right. That is the great Tony Granato, one of the nicest people in hockey. I remember when he first got hired by the Blackhawks. He was. I saw him at a training camp, and I was like, boy, this guy's hockey mind is incredible. And it's been a pleasure getting to know Tony over the years. Thanks for Tony for joining us. We got one more break to get to here on Blackhawks Live, and then we'll wrap things up on 720 WGN. Back here on Blackhawks Live, Charlie Meliotis and Jack Heinrich with you. Always great to catch up with Tony Granato. Let's get to some Ryan Donato talk. I remember we put out a Hawks Click poll at the beginning of the season about how many goals Ryan Donato was going to score because he was on a nice little heater in the first month of the season. And I think I sold him short, Jack, because we were talking to the broadcast before the previous game of Sunday, which one was that, Friday? And Ryan Donato had a hat trick. It was his first career NHL hat trick in the NHL. And then he scored again on Sunday. He's up to 29 goals on the season. So we put out a poll question. With 8 games left in the season, will Ryan Donato hit the 35-goal mark? So he essentially needs 6 goals in the final 8 games the rest of the season. 54% of you guys said no. 46% said yes. Jack, where do you fall? I was going to vote no, but I was like, I feel like he's been shattering all of my expectations this year, and he's probably going to continue to do so. So I'll say yes.
Yeah, we've been hanging out too much because that was my same thought process. I mean, I showed him even more short than you in that first poll. I thought he was going to be around like 12. So yeah. I'm changing my tune. So I think he'll do it. I mean, he just keeps scoring too. So it's just funny because he's just, it's like Bedard had those two shots on goal. Then all of a sudden, bang, he comes in and cleans it up. So he's just finding ways to get in the back of the net. So I think our boy Ryan's going to do it.
We were talking during the first intermission with me and John Weideman. I think I threw it over to him after Donato scored a goal to, I think it was his 26th of the year at the time. And I was like, all right, is he going to get 30 by the end of the season? Well, then he has the hat trick in the second period and he was up to 28. And we were joking around that he might get 30 by the end of the night. So he continues to impress, up to 29 goals, 59 points now on the season, which leads the Blackhawks. I mean, just an unbelievable year he's had. 8 points in his last four games, so he's averaging 2 points per game over the last four with 6 goals and 2 assists. A little surprised that there isn't an extension done yet between the Blackhawks and Donato.
I was thinking that too.
I thought that would come pretty quickly in short order after the trade deadline. But at the same time, the way that Ryan has been producing, he certainly has a case to continue to out, you know, get whatever he's asking for. I do think it's going to get to a point where the two sides come to an agreement. It doesn't sound like Donato is the kind of guy that he wants to squeeze out every last dollar. If money was a priority for him, like getting the top value dollar amount term, then he would have made it known that he wants to go to the open market. But he's been very public in his stance of wanting to stay here in Chicago. He's really enjoyed it here. He was a little relieved that he didn't get traded ahead of the trade deadline because he does like it in Chicago so much. So again, I would still be surprised if an extension does not get done. But it is coming a little bit longer than I thought.
Yeah, I thought we'd get some news pretty fast after the trade deadline, and especially with what Kyle Davidson said in that post-trade deadline, how highly they thought of him. It wouldn't make sense for him just to stick around the next half of the year when you could have traded for him for assets. But yeah, I think they'll get something done. I mean, he's having the best year of his career in this place, it seems like, and he's kind of bounced around too in his career, so maybe a little stability too.
Yeah,
and hopefully they can do that. I mean, Connor Bedard said it, him and Donato's like one of his closest friends, like around the team. So it'd be nice to keep him around too for that.
Yeah, and I think that's the part where Chicago is coming from. It's because he's setting a career high. His previous career high was 16 goals and 31 points. It's like a guy that's going to hit maybe 35 goals this year, and he's going to surpass 60 points. You want to be careful not to just throw money on a potential, not a one-off, but like, you know, their water might find its level at some point, and so you don't want to get too crazy with the term and the dollar amount. So I feel like both sides are going to come to some sort of agreement. They'll meet in the middle and it'll get done. But Donato continues to perform at a very high level for the Blackhawks, and hopefully he can finish things strong. That's going to do it for this edition of Blackhawks Live. Our next show is going to be on Wednesday, April 9th at 7 o'clock because of the NCAA tournament championship game. So have a great night, everyone, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday.